Now I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we rejoice in your presence among us. And we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives. And we pray this all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now I'm going to ask for an honest answer from everyone. How many of you enjoy waiting patiently for things? How many of you are not patient waiters? Right? Some of you right now are waiting for something to arrive or are waiting for something to end. Patience is a challenging thing. We heard in our psalm, wait patiently for the Lord. Well, in the spring of 2024, Kim and I were in the midst of an extended season of waiting. The Lord had indicated to us that he was preparing us for something new, perhaps a new season of ministry, almost a year before. But for months, as we waited, we saw him open doors and then close doors. We prayed and we waited and we prayed and we waited. We believed he was leading us into a new season of ministry, but for months, we waited. We sought to serve the Lord faithfully where we were, and we prayed, and we waited. Then finally, in June of 2024, we received a call from you all, inviting me to be your next rector. The waiting was no fun. We rejoice now in what God has done, but the waiting was no fun. We see a similar struggle with waiting in the prophet Habakkuk. His oracle begins with him crying out in verse 2, "How long shall I cry for help and you, Lord, will not hear? How long shall I cry to you violence and you will not save?" The prophet's frustrated. He's desperate. I imagine every one of you has been in a similar position at some point or another as the prophet, crying out to the Lord, desperate for his response and frustrated that he's quiet, that he's just letting you sit there and wait. In the prophet's case, the Lord does respond, but the Lord doesn't respond clearly. The Lord responds cryptically. In verse 5, so verses 1 through 4 are the prophet's plea. Verse 5, the Lord answers, and the Lord says, "Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told." I am doing a work in your days, the Lord answers. And the Lord says, pay attention, watch, and wait. Well, the prophet continues his plea in the following verses, through the end of chapter 1, ultimately declaring in chapter 2, "Okay, Lord, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what you, the Lord, will say to me, what he will say to me." He declares he's content to wait patiently for the Lord to respond. And the prophet here is an example for you and for me, and he's an example of faith. The Lord is trustworthy. The Lord is worthy of our trust and our patience as we submit our cries for help or our cries for deliverance or our cries for what it is that we think we need unto him. Now, if you've ever endured a dark night of the soul or a season of a dark night of the soul, you know how difficult it is to wait and wait and wait. Waiting for the Lord when you're experiencing pain or sadness or whatever it is causing that dark night. I personally have endured seasons like that, and the waiting is excruciating. In the moments of those dark seasons where the Lord seems to be unresponsive, it's easy to tend towards entitlement. Lord, I've waited long enough. I deserve better. I deserve an answer, Lord. I'm sure none of you have said that, but I know I have. This is not fair, Lord. I don't deserve this. Why aren't you answering? Entitlement is a dangerous frame of mind because it can lead you away from the peaceful place of trusting in the Lord and waiting for Him. And entitlement can instead lead you into despair. One can easily find themselves during the dark night crying out for increased faith. I don't have enough faith for this, Lord. Give me more faith. I can't stand to wait for you. I'm tired of trying to believe that you care for me still. Give me more faith. In the case of the disciples in our gospel reading, we now turn to our gospel reading from Luke. In the case of our gospels, of the disciples, they were crying out for more faith, but it wasn't because they were waiting. It was because God gave them a difficult instruction and they didn't think they could do it. But what happens here can inform our situation, the subject of having to wait. Our gospel reading began in Luke 17, verse 5. Where the apostles, the disciples said to the Lord, increase our faith, give us more faith. Well, why did they say that? We didn't read it. But if you go back a few verses, Luke 17, verse 3, Jesus says to them, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother or sister sins, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. If your brother or sister sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive them. In response, the disciples say, this is too hard a teaching. Give us more faith. Increase our faith. This situation can inform ours with waiting. Whether it's in the desperation of the dark night that you cry out to God, or in the frustration of waiting, or in the frustration, like the disciples, of life with other sinners, God's living and active word declares to you, God is faithful. God is faithful. The prophet Habakkuk declares it. God is faithful to hear, to have heard your cry, and to answer so that you can wait with patience for Him to answer. And if you're a member of God's kingdom on earth by your faith in Jesus, I remind you today that you all have everything that you need, including enough faith. For all who are touched by the coming of the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus, what's not needed is more faith, but the active exercise of the faith that you already have. That's what Jesus says in His answer to the disciples. They cry out, increase our faith, give us more faith. Jesus answers that cry by saying, just exercise the faith that you have. You have enough. He answers, even if you only have faith as a grain of mustard seed, which is one of the smallest seeds, that is enough faith. Jesus tells them, with that much faith, you have enough faith to achieve what is humanly impossible in concert with God's will. Remember, it's not you or your faith that works God's power. It's the one in whom you have faith working through you. It's His kingdom, and it's His will. So it should be His timing. Jesus taught His disciples and us to pray. And in the midst of that prayer, we are to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done. It's His kingdom and it's His will. It's not ours to choose. The problem is waiting with patience isn't an acceptable posture in our culture. We get frustrated when Amazon takes 3 days instead of two. We want things now. We want answers now. We don't want to wait. As you're waiting in those difficult seasons, you may be tempted to do whatever pops into your mind to at least do something, or maybe even to help God along. I believe God's telling me to do this. Well, God's word reminds you today, you're not in control. Waiting for the Lord is an integral part of living in His kingdom. Waiting in the Lord, waiting on His kingdom and His will is a part of His working in our life to teach us, to grow our faith and our trust in Him. He decides when and He decides what. So I think we all agree waiting is hard, but it's especially hard when things aren't good, when sickness or pain or loss are plaguing you or someone you love. Extended waiting can lead to desperation, and a recent teaching from our bishop can be instructive here. So I got to go to the clergy retreat last month, and Bishop Alec gave a teaching, and in that teaching he reminded us that every human has three voices in our heads. Every one of you has three voices: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, if you have faith in Jesus, you have a fourth voice, which is the voice of the Lord, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you all have these, if you have faith in Jesus, these four voices. If you're not quite there yet with faith, you just have the three. And I pray for you, because those three voices are not helpful: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The bishop reminded us of the need to discern the voices that we will hear, especially when we're struggling. Voices that will prompt us to action. He said, you must be careful, especially when you're impatient or desperate. Just because you hear a voice prompting you to do something, you're not guaranteed that's the voice of God. And he told a story where someone came to him as a young priest and said, God told me to tell you this. And he answered the parishioner, I don't dispute that somebody told you to do that, but I don't think it was God. Because it's not in line with God's word. You're not guaranteed that the voices you hear are the voice of God. It could very well be your own flesh. It could be the influence of the world, or it could be the devil who wants to tear you down, who wants to tear your faith down, who wants to tear down the kingdom of God. The Apostle Peter tells us our spiritual enemy is always prowling around, seeking to devour. And as God's people, you're instructed by God's word to be patient in your waiting, because He is faithful. As I observe Jesus, as I look through the Gospels, Jesus was never in a hurry. He wasn't rushing to get to appointments. You don't read, and Jesus said to the disciples, hurry up! He did say, oh, you of little faith. But He was never in a rush. He didn't rush when His friend Lazarus was sick. Jesus modeled listening and waiting for the Lord. Even when Jesus was struggling and anxious in the Garden of Gethsemane, He first prayed, Father, take this cup from me. This is too much for me. Kind of sounds like, give me more faith. I can't bear this. But then He followed that up with, yet not my will be done, but your will be done. Being the one that Habakkuk mentions, the righteous one who will live by faith or by faithfulness, that doesn't mean always taking action. Many times the one living by faith will mean going at God's desired speed and trusting in His timing. Faith, much of faith, is trust. Faith is participation with God, joining Him in His kingdom work in the world through prayer, through loving your neighbor, through loving and praying for your enemies, and through waiting on the Lord, waiting on His will and His kingdom and His timing. And when you discern, He's prompting you to take action. When you've heard His voice, inviting you to join in His kingdom work, you don't need to doubt or fear that. Faith there is obedience that He knows what He's calling you to and that He will give you what you need for what comes next. Even if He calls you to something that you fail at, He can even use those failures. In the face of sickness, faith is praying for the Lord to heal because He can and He does heal. Asking Him to heal and then trusting Him to heal in His timing, whether it be immediate, whether it be delayed, or whether it be spiritual healing. Faith is believing He can do and then trusting Him to bring His kingdom and His will. Faith isn't about results. Faith isn't about being enough or good enough or accurate enough. Faith is trusting in the One who is enough, the One whose power is limitless, the One who is worthy of your trust, even when you don't understand. Faith is not simply believing in a God who wants you to be happy and who will give you what you want when you want it. That's not faith in God. That's looking for a genie. Faith is trusting in God that He is faithful, that He is always with you, especially with you as you live by faith and wait for Him. And when you get to those places where you feel, He's not with me, I'm alone, I want you to look around. If you're not in church, put yourself in church and look around at your brothers and sisters. Because we're also not alone because we have the body of Christ around us. That's why we need a church family. Even if you don't know someone real well, we are a family that you can say, I'm struggling, can you pray for me? And in that, God's presence can go through, work through your brother or your sister and remind you. Faith is believing that His ways are right and His provision is enough, and that He can do more through you than you can ask or imagine. Paul tells us that in Ephesians 3. So what is it that you're waiting for? If you're not waiting, pray for others, because many of us are waiting for something. What is it that you're waiting for? Where in life are you impatiently waiting? Where are you desperate for an answer? God's word reminds you today, the righteous will live by faith. So know that the Lord knows you. The Lord hears your plea. By faith in Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit is with you and lives in you. The Lord is always with you. And we heard Paul remind Timothy, and so I remind you, by your faith, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but He has given you His spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. I close with what we heard in Psalm 37, a portion of that psalm. I'd encourage you this week, if waiting is something that you're dealing with, read Psalm 37 each morning and maybe again during the day. Let the words wash over you. Fret not. It only leads to evil. But I close with this portion of Psalm 37. People of God, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Live faithfully. Delight yourself in the Lord, because He knows what you need and He can be trusted. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.